to
talk about Harold Stringer. Yeah, well, I had told you a few minutes ago that in my early years in the bar, I didn't think we had officers in our informal bar association. By some time in the early 50s, that changed. I think just as an honor to George Grigsby, we named him as president of the Bar Association, and he served as president or honorary president for several years. And then when he no longer could or wanted to, Wendell Kay was elected president, and he was active in maintaining some organization. He was reelected two or three or four times as president. Sometimes some of the younger ones would try to organize and get a new face in office, but he was able to head off those movements. Harold Butcher was treasurer for a number of years, so we did have a little money coming in by that time. And his treasurer reports were something like a Robert Benchley treasurer report. He never told us how much money we had or how much we owed. He'd just say, well, there's enough to get by.
What about Harold Stringer? What did he do in the bar?
Well, when there were political movements afoot, an election coming up, he was always active in it on one side or the other.
And did the bar endorse people?
I don't think there was anything to endorse for. Mm-hmm. No. It was a popular election, yes.
Did the bar ever support that would have to have been J. Gerald Williams?
Yes, he was perennial. Per quadrennial. And we had trouble finding a Republican candidate to run for Attorney General. Mm-hmm. And I remember Bill Olson ran once, I think. Bill Sanders ran once.
Did the bar ever endorse a candidate? Did they ever?
I don't recall that we did. Mm-hmm. I don't recall that we did.
So really the only position that they would be endorsing would be the judge.
That's the only one I recall, yes.
There are a number of cases in the 1950s, disciplinary cases, that seem to be hot topics for everybody. Do you have any theory as to why suddenly they were getting disciplinary cases when in the 40s there hadn't been any?
I suppose it was just the changing times. We'd been a pretty totally informal bar and not structured and not under any comprehensive set of rules, and I don't know whether it was public demand, legislative movement, or desire of the judiciary, or a combination, that we be a more regulated bar. And controversy did ensue, unfortunately, and it was fairly bitter, and it became, at one point, and I don't remember when that was, part of the bar versus the judiciary. On the bar squabbles, I didn't have any strong personal feelings, I don't think, on either side of the issue. I was a little embarrassed, and I didn't get embroiled. I just
was it personality? Was that what was making a clash, or was it a professionalism that was starting out? That the lawyers didn't want to be regulated by the court system? Or was it the personality, since they'd all known each other for so long?
I think it boiled down more to personalities. Mm-hmm. But I just really avoided being involved, and I can't contribute much on what that was all about.
What was your practice like at this time?
Pretty general civil practice. I wasn't taking any criminal cases other than maybe for a client I'd represented for a long time. One got in some tax trouble, and I helped him work that out. But pretty much civil, some corporations. I represented the Anchorage Natural Gas Company, AGAS, and the Alaska Pipeline Company that brings the gas in from Kenai. And I and other members practicing with me had represented some electrical co-ops around the 3rd Division. And I did real estate work.
Mm-hmm. Who was practicing with you at this time? Was this with Kay and Moody?
Well, after Kay and Moody, after I left that firm, I went back to Washington and watched the government operate and took 10 hours of courses at George Washington University, and then came back and opened an office in the First National Bank building on 4th Avenue, and was later joined by Ken McCaskey and Eben Lewis. And then through the years, various attorneys came and went in the firm. Kids, you'll have to be quiet.
What did you go to Washington, D.C. for?
Oh, I was interested in watching the government, and I had friends back there in around the White House and in Department of Interior.
Is this statehood battle? Is this
It was prior to statehood. It was probably 55 that I went back there.
Did you go back with anyone else?
No, took the family and one convention. I took George Grigsby. That would have been in 52 when Eisenhower was trying to decide whether he had decided to be a candidate or not. And George Grigsby was a great admirer of General MacArthur. And General MacArthur had a following at that convention and wanted to nominate him for president. So Grigsby was sort of down as far as cash, and I liked the old gentleman, and so I just took him back so he could stand for MacArthur, and I shouted for Eisenhower.
Were you on separate sides of the earth?
No, we were in the galleries together.
I want to pursue your second time in Washington.
Well, okay. Well, I was still fairly active in politics, and there were people back there in Department of Interior who were urging me to take some position in the government, and I didn't know whether I wanted to or not. And so I went back and hobnobbed around and had lots of lunches and visits to the Department of Interior, and took my courses at law school. And depended on Wendell to send me money from our old partnership, but got down to the point he was sending me Christmas cards, and so I at the end of that one semester, I came back and went to work.
What kind of position did they want you to be?
Oh, in Washington, perhaps head of the Alaska Department or assistant to the head of the Alaska Department. And they were thinking about things like candidates to Congress and Senate when statehood came, and who would possibly be in line for governor. And
we did.
I didn't know him yet at that time. He may have been, but I didn't know him. By the time of the 56th Republican National Convention in San Francisco, I went there as a delegate and was successful in drafting and getting the plank in the party platform that helped result in statehood. It was the platform committee was consisted of 100 persons, and by the end of each of the first 3 days, I would have those 100 persons convinced that statehood for Alaska was right, and we'd have it in. But the chairman of the platform committee, who didn't come to those drafting sessions, was Senator Bush, father of Vice President Bush today. And he did not favor it. And sometime between night and morning, he'd have it out of the platform. So we went through that exercise 3 times, and finally I got a hold of the then solicitor from the Department of Interior, and I think his name was Bennett. And he got hold of the president or someone close to the president, who got word to Senator Bush to leave it in. Mm-hmm. So it survived.
Why, I'm going to go a little bit on.
All right.
Why didn't you want to take the commission that were offering?
I think it, in one sentence, I'd say I didn't want to be a full-time politician for a many-year career with the prospect always there that any election would end that and I'd be back to starting over trying to make a living at practicing law. There were other considerations of moving the family, where would you live, did I want half the people complaining to me, and that combination, but I think the main that I just didn't want a full career.
Why didn't you ever take a judgeship? I know you must have been offered it.
Similar considerations that I wouldn't like the responsibility that the judges have in making decisions that so affect people's lives, and the living in a glass house, so to speak, as to what you do, and they seem to be sort of lonely people. They avoid making a lot of friends and a lot of activities that they would engage in private life. I think mainly that was it.
Have you known any judges who've been able to maintain some sort of balance having private life and being able to seem detached to the judge or be detached to the judge?
I don't think it bothered Judge Diamond at all. He had no problem with going to Democratic political activities, speaking at their events. He had friends on both sides of the fence. He didn't carouse. He wouldn't have done anything improper anyway, so it wasn't, I don't think he had to make too much adjustment. I've heard that in his younger days he was a, could be considered a boisterous young Alaskan, as other young Alaskans, not in any disrespectful way do I say it. I think he was just a normal, healthy young Alaskan man. But on the bench in his life. His conduct was very proper, and I don't think it strained him.
When you came back from Washington, is that when you started up your practice with McClaskey?
Yeah, I started by myself in the First National Bank building, and McCaskey had been contracting officer for the Corps of Engineers for a number of years, but had not gone to law school. And at some point he went out to Ohio, I think, and took his law degree and came back and served as magistrate, justice, coroner, small claims court, the whole ball of wax for 2 or 3 years. And then when he got through with that, he joined me. And then Eben had been a lawyer for the federal government in Juneau and moved to Anchorage, and he was recommended to me, and I liked him, and he joined us. And so we practiced together for a number of years.
Is that the firm you're still associated with?
It has disappeared as a firm now. A few years ago we had about 10 lawyers, and one or two went off to open their own practices. One of the older, our main trial lawyer then, died, and others went off in twos to open their practices. And Ken and I stayed together with Marv Frankel until 2 or 3 years ago, when Marv retired. And then we recently sold our law building, and I've moved my active files out here to the residence, and I'm kind of working them down.
What about the 60s? It kind of went real fast over the 60s.
They did go fast.
Did the practice change in the 60s?
Bar organization grew very rapidly, and many more admissions, and many more offices, and to the point we began to not know a high percentage of our fellow attorneys, or at least that's my experience. I've heard others express the same. And that continued through the 70s. I don't think of any particular highlights in the 60s that might be of interest to your listeners.
Harry Aaron.
That was part of that bar fight, yes.
Were you ever involved in bar conflict at all? Did you ever hold office in the bar or work on that business, or did you avoid it?
I guess I avoided the responsibility. I didn't hold any office in the state bar organization. I attended a few of their conventions and Hawaiian seminars, but never an officer, no. There were always others who were willing to do the work. I didn't have any crusade or anything that I was trying to improve upon.
When you look back over the time that you were practicing, can you just remark on the changes in the bar and whether you think they're favorable or unfavorable?
Well, I read in the last bar rag, and I don't know whether it was literal or tongue-in-cheek, that the new pretrial order is 75 pages long. And that just wouldn't interest me in coping with that. It was a lot more fun to interview your witnesses, let the other lawyer know as much as you wanted him to know if you were exploring settlement, and otherwise go to trial. And I approve of the discovery procedures. I think they certainly lead to efficiency and better results. But with three or four sets of rule books, and the rules being changed quite frequently, and I having lost some general enthusiasm, it looks a little tedious to me.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's more fair or necessary?
I think overall the changes in practice is good. I think it may be carried too far, but the client's causes are served by requiring the lawyers to prepare and proceed at some scheduled pace for the ultimate day.
If you were to start up in law practice now, do you think you'd find it, do you think you'd still do it? Would it be an exciting prospect?
If I were to do it over and come into the system now as a young attorney, I'd still probably do it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I enjoyed practice of law. I think it was interesting and rewarding and good work.
When you look back, what was your favorite time? Or when you look back, what was the most?
Oh, I enjoyed public utility work. I enjoyed lobbying in Juneau. I wouldn't envy the people who spend full time in Juneau or several months a year there. But seeing the activities, seeing the legislative process was interesting, and being partially involved was interesting. No, I liked full-time practice of law. I didn't mind. I finally quit working on Saturdays, and then finally quit working evenings, and finally quit going in very early in the morning. But it was still a full-time activity, which I enjoyed.
It seems that you picked that instead of all the politics. Is that true?
Yes.